Seems like whenever I have to speak, it's always raining or snowing or something is going on. I guess in the Army it says, if it ain't raining, you're not training. So we need to be trained tonight. So I know as we talk, we get ready to, as you turn to Genesis 19, kind of an interesting scripture to preach. Honestly, I was here Wednesday night, and my intent was to preach Brother Elijah, not knowing that Justin was going to preach that, and I was going to preach chapter 20 when he went to war, and I was going to preach standing firm, even during tough times. But that's not what, as I started studying, that's not what the good Lord had. And so it changed, and I had to get into study because this was good. But, you know, to stay in line with what kind of Pastor Jenkins has been preaching that night, he preaches on the coming of the Lord and kind of what is holding people back. And so as I sit out here at night, God was kind of, and we were reading the scriptures, and he was in Romans, and he talked about Abba, Father. And I started thinking on this, and Lot came to my mind. And as the brother read the scriptures, I started thinking, as Pastor preaches and Pastor Gifford's been preaching for 50 years, and as I preached the last time, there's almost 30,000 sermons, depends on how many times and more that you've heard here. And my question is today, I want you to think about, because this is really more so kind of, I want to encourage you tonight and just kind of give you some thoughts. I'm going to hit 9 points. But these points are tied to, obviously, Genesis 19. And I want you to think about this as we get into talk about Brother Lot and the story. Why do people hesitate? I want you to think about that. Why do people hesitate? We just sung a great song. He holds the future. I believe it says that. And we sing these great songs, and every time we come here, we teach doctrinally correct. So why is not every pew filled and we're bursting out the seams? I was studying, and that kept coming up. And as I passed all these churches coming in tonight, raining or not, it doesn't matter. They're all closed. They're all closed. But in the morning when they're preaching, they say we have a spiritual warfare and there's a war going on. Everybody's got all this. Even sometimes they have the kids with their uniforms on and doing these little things. And everybody's at war. I just heard a sermon. I was in the gym getting my workout on. So I have been listening, getting my spiritual workout while I'm doing that. And Steve Lawson, you know, he gets excited. And I like that. He said, you know what we need to do? We need to armor up. He said, you need to get in Ephesians 6 and armor up. And that kind of goes in. Then I was like, we got all these messages. And then Brother Justin talked about Elijah, who was his true warrior. So why do we hesitate when it's time? And so, you know, I thought about Elijah because as the brother was reading, the key verses I want you to look at is we look at would be verse 15 and verse 16 in chapter 19. When the morning dawned, the angels urged Lot, saying, up, take your wife and your two daughters who are here, or you will be swept away in the punishment of the city. But he hesitated. So the men seized his hand and the hand of his wife and the hand of his daughters, for the compassion of the Lord was upon him, and they brought him out and put him outside the city. So as we get into this, you know, let's talk about Brother Lot, because I believe Brother Lot is one of the most people in the Bible that's thrown under the bus. People quickly, you know, you go to here and they say, oh, man, they start reading and we'll get into it. And you'll be looking at this and you quick to judge Lot. And I believe that's why people tend to hesitate, because the world judges you. But so what I want you to do today is I want you to do something that Pastor Jenkins asked and Pastor Gifford has asked. I want you to put your spiritual lenses on. And I say that because I want you to start looking at it from a different perspective, because I pray that that changes the way that you think about yourself. If you feel hesitant about anything, or if you are saved and you feel hesitant about witnessing, because as we learned from 2 Thessalonians this morning at Sunday school, they were misinformed. They thought that these false teachers had written a false letter and said the Lord was coming, so they shut down. People stopped working. They said, well, the Lord is coming. And Brother Paul said, hey, it's not for you to know. It's only for God to know. And what should you be doing? You should have your hand to the plow, and you should be doing I like to say the two W's. You should be working and witnessing. That was 2 Thessalonians. Paul had to come back. They were doing okay. And it's amazing when people leave, what happens? They get attacked. That's when the devil attacks. And so I was looking at this. So when I say that, I want you to think about yourself. I'm sure the world has an opinion of all of us. I'm sure, and I'm sure you, like me, you probably, hey, that's their opinion and that's fine. But before we get into Lot, and I know this is a very familiar passage, you've read it, I want to tell you what the Bible says about Lot. So if you could, let's turn to 2 Peter 2, the second chapter, and let's start in the seventh verse, and we're going to read to the eighth verse. And if he rescued, I'll give you a minute to turn. I'll do that because I know I have to go with my phone sometimes so I can get there. And if he rescued righteous Lot, oppressed by the sensual conduct of a principal man, in verse 8, for by what he saw and heard, that righteous man, while living among them, felt his righteous soul tormented day after day by lawless deeds. And then I'll kind of jump into what I'll use MacArthur. I brought my MacArthur Bible tonight. What it says. It said, Lot, he was righteous as all the saved are by faith in true God, in the true God. Righteousness was imputed to him by grace through faith, as it was in Abraham, his uncle. But yes, there was a spiritual weakness in Lot and different things. But Peter pointed out that God's people were rescued and that God always provides. So see, that's what the Bible says about Lot. And so I challenge you tonight as we get into, you know, why people hesitate, and I want to kind of give you some tools why I think people hesitate and they need to stop. Don't worry about what people say. Worry about what the Bible and what the Lord thinks of you. Because the Bible said that Lot was righteous. And we know the only one that can make you righteous is your faith in Jesus Christ, as it said, like Abraham. And what I love about that is the Bible doesn't say that Lot was perfect. It says he was righteous. So if one thing that's holding you back, if you feel that you can't get it all together, it's not for you. It's for your faith in Jesus Christ. He makes you righteous. It's as the word said, not Brother Mason, it's imputed to you. So I wanted to start off with that because I believe a lot of times when people are up here, they need to really get into the crux of it. As they said, we always got to take you to the cross. And we got to take you to Christ. And so it's don't worry about what the world says and trying to be perfect. You worry about what the good Lord says about you and what he has done for you, because that's what's all matter. Pastor Gifford says it all the time. Everything you do down here does not matter. It's only what you do for Christ that lasts. So as we look at the scripture, I wanted to start off like that because a lot of times when you preach these messages that have been known, people already have preconceived and say, oh man, Lot, you know, as we get into it. But I don't want you to think like that. Lot was a righteous man, that's what Brother Peter says, but he was under a lot of times. And I use this because I know it was some interesting and colorful things that Brother Joe Woody read today, but that's what's going on in the world today. This is what is out there today. And so when we look at Brother Lot, and I wanted to bring this because I believe these 9 points, they are tied to why you are still in the world. You may not be of the world, but you're still in the world and you still have to deal with them things. And especially as we get to the middle, when he read the part and everybody cringes when he makes that decision about his daughters. Anybody has a tough time when it comes to pressure, when you're making decisions. I always say at work, when it's tough decisions, I say no task is too big for the guy who doesn't have to do it. So it's easy to say that, but when he's under pressure, so you have to make these decisions. So let's get into it. You know, if we had to give it a topic tonight, I would say, hey, tools to overcome hesitation, a lesson in faith, the story of Lot. So if I had to give it a title, overcoming hesitation, a lesson in faith, in the story of Lot. So as we know, the story begins. So Lot was Abraham's nephew. So Lot is first mentioned in Genesis around chapter 11, right after the kind of the Tower of Babel was going on. Abraham was still Abram then, and it kind of, it doesn't really talk a lot. It talks more about Lot's mother, and his father died in Ur, as we saw that. And so Lot kind of obviously kind of took under him. And so what happens? He saw the Tower of Babel, and then you get in, that's chapter 11, and you get into chapter 12 where Abram still, he made a thing, said his wife Sarai, she wasn't Sarah yet, you know, he said it was his sister because he was scared of the king. So he's seeing all these things. And then, you know, Lot is growing up, he's probably a young man, and since he was the son, he inherited his father's stuff. So Lot and Abram, they'd had wealth. They had livestock. They had gold and silver. And then that takes us really, that's chapter 11 was the Tower of Babel. Chapter 12 was the thing with the king. Then we get to chapter 13, and that's where it gets interesting. Because, so now they got wealth and they're moving. And then Abraham's, there's a problem between their two camps. You know, the herdsmen are kind of fighting with each other. Because, see, that's kind of what money does sometimes. And so he says, well, hey, I don't want any problems because we're family. He says, so I'll let you pick one way and then we'll go the other way. As they was pressing kind of towards Egypt. So Lot, he kind of looked and he said, hey, I got all these cattle and livestock. I'm going to pick the good land, kind of towards Jordan. Okay, he said, because Jordan has the water, it's fertile, and you got Sodom and Gomorrah down there. And what's the good thing about Sodom and Gomorrah? These cities were booming. It's where it was. The land was fertile. So I want to pause right there for, let's bring it till today. Does anybody know what happened in Jordan today? Three soldiers, American soldiers, were killed on an attack today in Jordan. A drone attack by extremists. When I was studying, that popped up today. Three soldiers were killed. Now we know, if you kind of look at the geography, you know, we know God wiped Sodom out, and when I really look at it, Sodom is probably under the Dead Sea, so it doesn't exist anymore. But just, it's amazing to me, as I was studying in that area today, three soldiers, American soldiers, were killed in Jordan. So tough still, still a lot of unrest. And as we get into these points about hesitation, you know, you can see how the stage is being set for Christ to come. So Lot kind of chooses that area. You know, he kind of moves into the area. Then there's as some civil unrest and there's a war, and Lot and his family gets captured. And guess what happens? Abram comes to his rescue. He hears that Lot is captured. He comes to his rescue. So Lot's already, you know, his family is already saved in one time. God has already provided. Because Abraham came, he saved them, he pulled them out, and now Lot is established in the city. Abram moves away, and Lot is in there, and that takes us really through chapter 14, 15, kind of 16, and then we kind of get to where we're going. We get to chapter 19. That brings us here. And where is Lot at? This is how you know he's arrived. He is at the gate. So what does that mean? That means Lot is doing well in Sodom, and he is he probably has a position of prominence because he's at the gate with the men are. Even though he really wasn't from there, he probably is there, and he's in a position of authority because he's at the gate. And that's at the beginning of the chapter. So that's where the men met him. They met him at the gate. So as I said, you know, I want to kind of focus on hesitation. So I believe I got kind of 9 points here, and I'm going to try to hit them quickly, be mindful of the time, of why I feel people hesitate. And it ties to really to that, and we'll kind of walk through this. As we know, the first point that we'll get to is the world is thoroughly corrupt. And since the world is corrupt, and what happens since we live in here, sometimes I believe people get intimidated by that, so they're afraid to kind of stand for Christ. But they have to understand that the world is corrupt. And as we look at that, as we look at the beginning of that, and as the angels met Lot at the gate, and then, you know, they were talking to him, and Lot invited them to his house. What's the first thing that happens when everything is going good? He's having a meeting with him. He said, actually told him, hey, Lot said, hey, you can't stay in the marketplace. I need you to come, because they were going to just stay there. But see, Lot knew what the city was about. And so he invited him to his house. And this is why I say the world is thoroughly corrupt, and everybody is totally depraved. Because immediately that he came, what happened? As we read here, the men came to have relations with him. We don't need to go there. You know, we know what that was about, because why? Romans 1 tells us that in verses 26 and 27. It says when your society gets completely corrupt, God turns you over to what? Your reprobate mind, and what? You completely dove in sin. And then what I love, the Bible highlights that in those verses. It says not just the old men, but also the young. So see, what God is showing you here is the level and the total depravity that's there in here. But remember, this is the land that he chose when his uncle tried to take him there. So I want you to know the first thing is people hesitate because the world is corrupt and it's hard. You got to deal with the world. And both Isaiah and Jeremiah condemn Israel like Sodom. For not only indulging in evil, but being openly, you know, openly evil. In Isaiah 3:9 and Jeremiah 23, when a society openly flaunts its sin, it becomes thoroughly corrupt. It becomes thoroughly corrupt. And as I talked about Romans 1, also another thing, it was amazing when the angel struck the men with blindness. And this is what I talk about hesitation. They were dazed, but it says they were still reaching out for the door. So even when God, they could have killed them, but they didn't. They struck them with blindness. But isn't it amazing as you read this, and I have to read about for what it is. Why didn't they repent? Doesn't say that. It says that they were present, they were dazed and confused, and they were still feeling their right way around. Why didn't they repent? And I was reading a note here in my other study Bible, and it talked about during the AIDS epidemic that popped out, and how instead of people, you know, repenting and moving to a different way of life towards God, they still wouldn't repent. So I tell you, the world is thoroughly, thoroughly corrupt, would be my first point. My second point is, many Christians try to live in conformity to a corrupt world. So instead of, as the Bible calls us out of that, we don't come out of it. And we stay there. Like I said, Lot chose to live in this area. And so, like Lot, much of American, to include churches, are you know, some of us, obviously, we're here, and I'm sure this is probably, it's a lot of colorful things going on outside the church that we don't know. But I tell you, a lot of us live in our neighborhoods and where we live in a Sodom. And so we have to be a light. You know, when I try to go out, I try to, you know, I was reading a Grace Gem that was very powerful, and I don't know if you get them, but I would suggest that you do. It said that people have a lot of head knowledge, but they don't have any feet. And so what it means is that people read and have a sense of knowledge, but since they don't have an example and they don't live by an example, they don't have a feet to walk. So it says that since you only have a head knowledge, it's a lamp straight to hell. Because you're not living, you haven't totally committed to Christ. Your life is not totally His. You haven't accepted Him as Lord. So only you have is a superficial religion. It was a powerful grace, Jim. So I would offer you that. I thought about that when I was looking at this second point about how people try to conform to a corrupt world. But I also would like to give you this little quote I thought was good by W.H. Griffin Thomas. It says, we're surrounded by a stench of the world that sometimes we get involved and don't notice. A ship in the water is perfectly right, but water in the ship would be perfectly wrong. The Christian in the world is right and necessary, but the world in the Christian is wrong and disastrous. So the solution is to recognize the sin and the corruption and don't let the world around you squeeze you into its mold. You cannot conform to a corrupt world. You have to come out of that. And that's Romans verses 12 and 2 that says you need to remold your mind. That's what Pastor Gifford preached about. That's why he said you need to change your mind and not be conformed to this world, but be renewing of your mind. You have to change your mind and be saturated with God's word. And then it says, and when you do that, you can test yourself to see how much water that you've let in your ship and perhaps without even knowing it. Because, see, what happens is if you don't stay in the word, you can't discern. And so what happens, you got this water coming in your ship, and what has happened? You're sinking, and you don't even know it. It's like the little children's story, the emperor with no clothes. He doesn't know if no one doesn't tell him. So if you got this water coming in, you're continuously sinking. And guess what happens? You're hesitating because you're trying to look like the world and conform to it. You can't do that. Definitely can't. It'll cause you to hesitate and pull away from Christ instead of moving to Him. And then one of my favorites here is my next point, my third point would be living for the same goals as the world. We should have different goals than the non-Christian. And if your goals are aligned with the Christian, with the non-Christian, then there's problems. So we look at Lot. Let's look at what happened in Genesis. So what? Lot's uncle gave him a choice of where he could move. But Lot chose what? He chose to go to Sodom. Why? Because it was financially advantageous. Now, Lot was a righteous man, but he had a family. He had, you know, he's a dad and he had what? He had two daughters. And you know, we got to take care of our girls and our wife. So he went there where it was financially advantageous. Nothing wrong with working, because the Bible says, we learned this morning also, a man who doesn't work, he doesn't eat. But Paul warned, those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a snare and many foolish and harmful desires which plunge men into ruin and destruction. That's 1 Timothy 6 and 9. You got to be careful with that. You got to ensure that your goal is to take care of your family and you're not aligning with the world trying to get rich. You got to be careful with that, because then what happens? Christ is not your Lord, and money is your Lord, and you take your eye off on Him. Tom Sine, not that I sign up with him, but he wrote a book a long time ago talking about the mustard seed conspiracy. And what he said in the book, I was reading a snippet from that. He wrote it back in 89, and it kind of popped up when I was doing my search on this. And what he talked about is Christians, since they won't change their goals, it's hard for you to tell the Christian from the non-Christian. And it said, because what happens is you start lining your goals with them, and what happens, you look like them. And you're only using Christ, is what Pastor talks about with prayer on Wednesdays. You're only using the Christian faith as a crutch. You're using it as a crutch. You're using it to what? These are some great examples he had in there. You're using it to have promotions, house in the suburbs, making sure your bills are paid. You're not using it for as you're pressing for the mark of the high calling. That the things of this world, as Pastor loves to say, I've never seen a U-Haul behind a hearse. You're looking at that. You're looking at those things. And then what he said in there is when you look at them and then you start looking at yourself and say, how are my goals different? Are you looking at it from an internal perspective? Are you looking at it from here and now? Your goals should be set much higher. And when you do, and Brother Jim brought this out with 2 Thessalonians this morning, we should be looking for that. This, we're here no matter if you live 100 plus years, it's only a short time, it compels an eternity. That should be your goal, to be with Christ. Only what you do with Christ will last. And then I will use Matthew 6, just a snippet from there. The Lord said that unbelievers eagerly seek for material prosperity, but his followers are to seek first the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness. So let's not line our goals up with the world. The fourth point is that causes people to hesitate, and a big one for Lot. You got questionable morals. You got questionable moral decisions. And so the one that jumps out is with the two visitors. When the two angels were there, they were pressing the door, and Brother Lot said, "Hey, you can't have these men, but I will give you my daughters." Probably not the right answer. But as I talk about that, people's morals become a question when you are under pressure. And I truly believe that's why the Bible lays that out. And when you talk about that, obviously that's not right. And if I asked you, would you do that? We wouldn't do that. Some people, they try, and it's amazing how in some of the commentaries they try to justify it, because they try to say, well, they knew that the men were in a different state and alternate lifestyle, so they wouldn't have taken the women anyway. That's not true. And the Bible doesn't say that. What it wants to lay out is, it doesn't matter. Even under pressure, your faith should be in Christ. He just sent your uncle to bring you out during a war when you was in captivity. He's already saved you. You are there talking to two angels there. What else does God have to do? But when you're under pressure, instead of trusting him, and the angels have just saved you, they just blinded the gentleman. But instead of trusting them, our faith is shaken. And so Lot hesitates. And then what does he do? He leans to the world's understanding, trying to maintain face with the crowd, and he offers up his two daughters. Questionable moral decisions. And you know, that's why I read 2 Peter at the beginning, because even though this is, it's wrong, but hey, and I'm not making any excuses for Lot, but still, when you under pressure, instead of pulling away, that's when you really need to pull to Christ. And that's why, as we talk about being prostrated, as we screaming out, Abba, Father, that's when you need to, you know, it would have been great for Lot to use one of them prayers. We had five prayers in 2 Thessalonians today, crowd as Paul. But you know what? He was under pressure. And see, this is why you got to be careful, and I truly believe this is why the Bible lays this out in Sodom. Because, see, when you put yourself around so much depravity, it's tough. It's tough, especially when you're standing alone, because as you know, in chapter 18, that's when God and Abraham had that dialogue after he blessed Abraham. And Abraham was pulling for Sodom because Lot was there. And so he said, Lord, will you destroy? And they went from 50 to what? They went to 10. And in the end, there was nobody righteous but Lot. So he is there alone, but you got to be ready to stand alone. And you can't compromise your morals and make immoral decisions. So I really believe, you know, Lot started hesitating because of questionable moral decisions. So my next point would be, you can't be more concerned for your status than for your family. Pulling the string a little more, as we just talked about with Lot and his two daughters, offering them up. You know, as we talk about making moral decisions, because when you make poor decisions, it not only affects you, because this is why we teach male leadership here and everybody doing it the right way. And that's why we, until a young lady gets married, for all us young ladies in here, that's why your covering is still your father. Because as we look at that, it affects you and your family. So Lot's decision just wasn't affecting him. It was affecting his daughters. He was gonna let them in his household. You can't do that. You have to stand firm on Christ, because it is not just your job to provide for them. It's your job to be the spiritual leader. And we have gotten away from saying that and teaching that to our young men. That's why I love his little son in here. He may be fidgety now, but he's listening. And he hears it. And even now, as you look at Sunday school and night service and most of the services, it's mostly young men. Now that I'm old, so it's mostly young men, and I love that, because as we look at these beautiful young ladies out here, they want to get married, but they have to have qualified men. And I truly believe today, as the world does, as Pastor talks about feminism, and he's right, what the problem is we have to get qualified men, and we have to invest in them. That's why I love where we started the men's ministry. We have to invest in them, and we have to train them, because it's tough to make these decisions. Because I'm a firm believer, and that's why I laugh that the women's portion is really small and the men's portion in Ephesians is kind of long. But you can't be more concerned about your status and the things you got to do than your family. Who cares about the financial success? Who cares about them things if you lose your family? I have a lot of friends now who've come, as I am, to the end of their career, and they're retiring. They've had all this success. But I had a buddy who was on the field at his retirement ceremony, and we were looking for him because it's his ceremony, so you kind of should be there. And we couldn't find him. And so we were looking, and he was under the bleachers crying. Because on the way there, he was talking about, you know, trying to set this trip up with his family, as we talk about your status, and he's been doing all this. And him and his son got into this terrible argument. And at the end, when they were getting out the car, his son said, "You know what, Dad, it's too late." He said, "You should have did that 20 years ago." See, you can't exchange success. And for us being Christians, you can't exchange the Lord for your status. You can't exchange the world for the Lord. You gotta stay with the Lord. Because if you stay with the Lord, your family will follow your lead. Yeah, when they get out your house, that's something different. But the next point, as I move a little quickly, you don't have to worry about, the world is not going to respect your beliefs. They're not going to respect your beliefs, but it doesn't matter. You have to stand firm. In all the times that Lot lived in Sodom, if it says he was righteous, that means he was witnessing. You know, after the angels told him that they were going to destroy, that God was going to destroy Sodom, his two daughters, they were engaged to be married. And it says, as Brother Joe, he read in verse 9, that he went to his future son-in-laws and he talked to them, and they thought he was joking. See, that's why I talked about that grace, Jim, that you have to make sure you just don't have a head knowledge, that you're walking. They thought he was joking. See, you got to be that example because they should have got up and they should have moved. But that also teaches you a clear example of election. Because they didn't. They thought he was joking, and Lot pleaded with him, but they wouldn't move. They thought he was joking. See, that speaks to your Christian character. And you got to make sure that, that's why I said about the two W's, you got to be working and you got to be witnessing. Because it's not your job to know who should be saved. You should just put the word there. So Lot should have been putting the word to his future son-in-laws because you are giving your daughters to them. But they thought he was joking. They wouldn't believe it. But you always got to remember, you know, and this is what I believe as me and Pastor talks about this. You know, a lot of times people hide their testimony. And so I believe that's not. And I love what he says, as the lady told his daughters, let her scars be their teacher, be their tutor. I think that's a great one. Because, see, that's when people respect you. They respect you when you tell them the truth. And it's great to see where God brought them from. It gives you that. But it kind of shows you where the world is and how they respect. And not just you, more importantly, how they respect God. Because the Bible says the fool is the one who doesn't believe there's no God. My next point is, this is a good one. You're not sure you want to give up the world, even when it's going to cost you your life. So Lot had to flee the city. And this is where I got into my two key verses on 19, 15, and 16. He hesitated. Even though the angels told him God is going to destroy, he hesitated. But my point is, and this is my point to everyone when pastors in here preaching, and if you are not saved and you're thinking about it, what could Lot have saved? Nothing. And what was important enough for him not to leave? Because they were going to take him. They asked him, who did he have with him? They was going to take his family. God had already ordained that. What was he going to save? Why did he even hesitate 1 second? And then he hesitated to the point where he wouldn't move, and they had to grab him and drag him and his family out. It's amazing how faithful he is. But it also should be a great scripture on assurance, because you can't lose your salvation, because even when you are just completely blind, God would drag you out of Sodom. As we saw that. So even that, no matter the depths of your sin, if it's meant for you to be saved, God would drag you out of it. That's a blessing. He drug them out. But you know why they hesitated? Matthew 6 and 21. Great verse. Because as Jesus said, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. See, that's what happens. You know, you're not sure you're ready to give up the world. You can't have 1 foot in the world and 1 foot in heaven. And so what happens is you hesitate. But I tell you, that's why I said put your spiritual glasses on. I don't believe anything that Lot was hesitating to leave back was worth his life. And pastor's right, as you get older, you start thinking about that. None of this stuff compares to what's on the other side or worth me going to hell for eternity. But what a great sign of Christ and God and their compassion as he sent them to save Lot. And that's why I love, and I read 2 Peter, because that's how faithful God is. And see, even in chapter 18, when God was dealing with Abraham and Abraham was pleading for Sodom, it says that he went there. And God is faithful enough where it says, and how he did this, I don't know, because it says no one has seen God, but it says God came down and he saw how depraved they were. And I believe that that's there for us to see, to say, look how totally depraved they are. Just like in the days of Noah. And they were doing the same things. It says they were drinking and being merry. And I truly believe when Christ comes back this time, it's going to be the same way. And then the Antichrist is going to be there. And that's why it says that he's going to bring us to a peace, a false peace. But then people are going to be drinking and being merry. And that's why it's going to be a surprise when the trumpet goes off. That's what the word says. And if you want to hear more of that, I'm teaching Revelations in Sunday school. So I move to my final 2 points as we get ready, as the hour is far spent. So that point was you're not sure you want to give up the world when it's going to cost you life. The next point is one of my favorites, another one of my favorites. You attempt to keep a little bit of sin in your life, even when God is dealing with you severely. And you know, I like another grace gem. It says that we have these pet sins that we don't want to give away. And it said that we try to cover them with fig leaves. But it said, always know that God can peek through the fig leaves. He can see it. God sees everything. And you know, and in Lot, his daughters, they hesitated. And we know that the two angels, they drugged him out of the city. And so now, while the angels would drag them out of the city, they're out of the city. God has saved them. And the angels told them what? As brother read, the angels said, hey, go up into the mountains and stay. And what did Lot do? Because, see, he still had a little sin in it. And we'll get to his wife turning. But Lot had a little sin. So instead of listening to the word of God who has saved you, Lot said, no, I don't want to go to the mountains. I think I'm going to go to what? The town of Zoar. And what is that? Another corrupt city. It's just not as large as Sodom and Gomorrah. It's just smaller. But see again, it's tough to give that up. Now, what is also probably going on with Lot? His family is probably, they were comfortable. Because, you know, they were comfortable. And it says that Lot had a lot, so they were comfortable. So Lot probably, you know, it was tough on them, but this is where leadership comes up. But you have to not only give up, the reason why you as the leader have to give up your sin is because you have to be an example for your others to pull, to say, hey, we're going to pull to Christ. Because when you don't, what happens? When you start complaining as the leader, everybody else will follow. And so that's what was happening. That's what would happen. And the funny thing about that, he said he went to the town of Zoar. And the name means small. And so the only difference in that town and the other ones is that it was just smaller. And the reason why I had Brother Joe him read the verse 30, because it doesn't matter. It got bad there, and he ended up where the angels told him. And it's amazing, just like David, as we talked last Sunday night, it's amazing how when people mess up, they end up in a cave. They end up in a cave. But I truly believe God puts you there because he has to put you in a place where you can listen. Now, some bad stuff went on in the cave, but still, God has to put you where you can listen. And still, he has to put you where that his will is going to be done for the things that you're going to do. See, when you become a Christian and God begins to confront you with the things in your life, you tend to find a way to scramble to preserve pieces and pleasures that you want to keep. That's why, as we say here, you get convicted. That's one of the largest tricks of the devil is that these churches are conforming because what they're doing, the church looks like the world. So nobody's giving nothing up. You can dance just as much in the church as the outside. So you're not giving up the music, the light shows. So you're not giving nothing up. That's why pastors talking about the Passion Conference. It's just like a concert. So see, when you don't have to give anything up, you're not conforming to Christ. You're still part of the world. And see, so what happens, instead of people coming all the way over, they still try to have and keep a little bit of their sin in their life, and you can't do that. You got to give it all up. You got to totally surrender. You know, what does Romans 10 and 9 say? We studied that verse 2 at my house. You got to give it all up. He got to become Lord. And you know, a lot of bad teaching, people like to bring up the thief on the cross. But it's amazing how if you look at Romans 10 and 9 and you really look at when the thief at the cross got converted, he did everything. He repented. He said, we deserve to be here. He repented. He said, this man doesn't deserve to be here. So he recognized who Christ was. Then he also said, when you get to your father's house, so he recognized who God was. And he also recognized what? That Christ was Lord. And he also, even though he didn't know this, he knew, he didn't understand the resurrection, but he knew where Christ was going, that he was going to be there with him. So you can't use that as an excuse. Because he did the same thing that the Bible lays out. And so my final point, as I get ready to take my seat, because the hour is spent, when believers live in conformity to the world, it takes a terrible toll. When we look at the story of Lot and after the angels drug them out there, it's amazing. Lot lost everything. His wealth, his property, all the other things. But sadly, he also lost his wife. And right here, I want to highlight that it says not only, and it said he lost his wife. As we talk about believers conformity to the world, it takes a terrible toll, because it says she lingered behind, not ready to get rid of the things from the past. And instantly she looked back and turned to a pillar of salt. So now Lot has lost everything. And then I put in here, we must ensure we don't trip on what is behind us. See, stay away from that terrible toll and don't trip on the things behind. See, God has delivered you from them things. Don't go back. Don't be the dog that returns to his vomit. You know, and as you can see from the story of Lot, conforming to the world has a terrible toll and breaks down. It breaks down certain things. It breaks down your fellowship with God. When believers conform to the world, they become desensitized and start to hesitate. Their spiritual discernment and fellowship with God becomes fragmented and hinders their spiritual growth. They fail to shine and show the light of Christ. It's a terrible toll. Because see, when people can't see Christ in you, then what? Then we can't see the fruit in you. And then what happens? We kind of know what pastors say, you'll know them by their fruit. And so, in conclusion, as I move to close, I know I went a little long, but I wanted to get you those points. Jonathan Edwards had a sermon that said, remember Lot's wife. And I want to read a little portion of this because I thought it was good. It said, you have therefore much more need to make haste in your escape and not to look behind you than Lot and his wife had when they fled out of Sodom. For you are every day and every moment in a danger of a thousand times more dreadful storm coming on your heads than which came on Sodom. When the Lord rained brimstone and fire out of heaven upon them, so that it will be vastly more sodous in you to look back than it was in Lot's wife. And then I want to end with this. Either you have eternal life through faith in Jesus, or you shall perish. I urge you as the angels urged Brother Lot, escape for your life. Do not hesitate. Flee to Jesus Christ and you will be saved and not perish in the day of God's judgment. Let us pray. Father God, I thank you for this little message, Lord. I thank you for these 9 little points, Lord, for us not to hesitate, Lord. Our only hope is in you, Father. And Lord, we pray tonight that if someone doesn't know you, Lord, that they cry out to you tonight, Lord, what must I do to be saved, Lord? And they follow you, Lord, and know that they don't need to hesitate, Lord. There's nothing in this world that's worth an eternity in hell, an eternity separated from you. Lord, we pray for that tonight, Lord. We continue to pray for all the prayer concerns that went forth. And Lord, we thank you, Lord, and we pray that you bring us back on Wednesday night, Lord, and every night, Lord, that your door is open, Lord. Lord, and let everybody tonight get home safely, Lord. We thank you again for this time, and we thank you for the word. We ask these things in your mighty Son, Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.